Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hello, North Point. Welcome, 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 and welcome to the last day of February. How in the world are we already 2 months into 2021? You know, there's something to this COVID time because it seems like time is moving faster than ever before and moving slower than ever before all at the same time. I was just talking to a guy that I hadn't talked to in 15 months, and I said, man, it's amazing. It seems like it's been 15 years. And he wrote back and said, man, it seems like 15 lifetimes. And it is so true. Seems like it's been so long, but at the same time, how are we already at the end of February? 2021 here at North Point, we have said this is our year of application. This is our year of application. This is the year where we take action and putting some things into operation in our lives. Why? Because we want to lead ourselves well. And before we can lead others well, before we can lead our home well, before we can lead our kids well, our employees well, whatever it is, before we can lead well, we have to first lead ourselves well. And that's why we have started this year in our house habits. Now, I want to just remind you, these are not just the habits of North Point Community Church. These are habits that you can bring right into your house. We talk about we live on. Well, it can be a habit of your house. We don't quit. We don't give up. We live on the right foundations in our lives. Last week, we were talking about we love big. We love big. These are habits. Now, before we go any further, let me just tell you about habits. Habits are in your life. Every single person has habits, but those habits are either there by design or they are there by default. Either you intentionally created those habits in your life or those habits were just created in your life by default. We don't want to live that way. Why? Because habits are the infrastructure of our lives. And if our habits are not what we need them to be, then our life will not be what we want it to be. Now, let me say that to you again. If our habits are not what they need to be, then our life will not be what we want it to be. I love this quote from John Irving, the author. He says this, "Good habits are worth being fanatical about." Good habits are worth being fanatical about. Why? Because Ovid, the Roman poet, said this, "Habits change into character." Habits change into character. So if my habits, if my daily habits are what creates my character, who I am, then those habits are worth being fanatical about. Whenever I understand the small habits of my day are creating the infrastructure for the life that God created me to live. It's small things that create the big, abundant life that God created me for. Habits are so important. And so today we're going to talk about another house habit, and it is a habit that is we protect unity. We protect unity. We're going to answer two questions today. The first question is this. Why is unity important? Why is unity important? The second question is, how do we protect it? Why is unity important? Second question, how do we protect it? Let's go to Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. One of my favorite scriptures on unity, and it says this, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. How good and pleasant. How good? How many of you just want to live in good and in pleasant? Come on, give me a little emoji right now in the chat, a little hand up emoji, wave at me, say, that's me. I want some good and pleasant in my life. I'm tired of the craziness and the chaos. I want some good and pleasant. The scripture says it's good and pleasant when we live in unity with one another. But before we can get into the house habit and talk about protecting unity, the first thing is we got to believe in it. Before we protect it, we have to believe in it, because we will not protect something that is not important to us. So I need to know, why is this important? Because I'm not going to invest my time, my effort, my energy. I'm not going to fight for something that is not important. So I've got to believe in it and know why it's important in order for me to fight to protect it. So let's start with that first question today, and that is, why should unity be important to us? Why should unity be important? And the first reason is this: God commands it. God commands it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing here, a leader in the early church, and he says this: therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. He says, live a life worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. How do you do that? You do that. One way you do that is by making every effort. Notice he does not say make an effort. He says make every effort. Do all that you can with what you know. Do everything you can to live in unity. Why? So that you might live in peace. Because protecting unity produces peace in your life. And the scripture said, how good and pleasant. Come on. God is wanting you to live in the good. He's wanting you to live in the pleasant. He's wanting you to live at peace with other people. But the only way we get to live at peace is when we fight to protect that unity. God commands unity for his people. Here is the second reason that unity should be important to us, and that is that Jesus demonstrates it. Jesus demonstrates it. Don't you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? It's a parable that Jesus told, and he tells the story of a Jewish man that goes on this journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's beaten up by bandits, he's robbed, he's thrown in the ditch, he's left for dead, and a priest comes along and sees the man who is laying there. He goes to the other side and passes by. Temple assistant comes and he sees him there. He also goes to the other side. And then there is this despised Samaritan, this enemy, this person who is the opposition to the Jewish people. And there the Samaritan comes along in the store, and he stops and he helps this Jewish man. He cleans his wounds and he bandages him up and he puts him on his donkey and he carries him to the inn, and he said, tells the innkeeper, hey, take care of this man, and here's some money to take care of him. And if it goes over, hey, guess what? I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pay his bill for him. Jesus gets to the end of this story, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus says, now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Now you go and show mercy. Now you go and show kindness. Now you go and do what this Samaritan did. You see, this was not just a story that Jesus told. This was a life that Jesus lived. Jesus lived this out for us. And oftentimes we make the mistake. We make the mistake of the call to unity, and we think it's a call to uniformity. But that's not what Jesus was asking. So we many times feel like people have to be like us in order to be a part of us. That's not what Jesus was all about. No, Jesus was about unity, not uniformity. And I want to say this to you, compassion is never compromised. Compassion is never compromised. You are not compromising your values whenever you decide to love, whenever you decide to be kind, whenever you decide to help someone, whenever you decide to accept someone, you are not compromising your values whenever you are living in compassion. Whenever you decide to love and accept people who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, who don't believe like you, who don't worship like you, who don't vote like you, you are not compromising your values to show compassion. And this is what Jesus demonstrated going to eat dinner with the tax collectors and the disreputable sinners. Jesus demonstrated this. He lived this for us, not so we could just read about it in our Bible, but so that we might do it ourselves. But we have to understand it's about unity and not uniformity. God commands it. Jesus demonstrated it. And finally, winning demands it. This is why it should be important. God commands it, Jesus demonstrated it, and winning demands it. Winning for Christ followers looks like advancing and expanding the kingdom of God on the earth. That's what winning is for people who have put their hope, faith, and trust in Jesus and are following him, expanding his kingdom, shining a light into the darkness, being the salt of the earth, being his hands and feet here on the earth, carrying out his mission, carrying out our assignment to go into the world, to proclaim his goodness and his love, to make disciples. We have been given this great commission, and this great commission cannot be fulfilled without unity. This was actually what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 22. It's Jesus' longest recorded prayer. He's praying, talking to the Father, and he says this, "I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one." Whoa! Come on, Jesus and the Father were one, and he says, praying to the Father, he says, "I want you to make them one like we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity." Not kind of have unity, not partial unity, not a semblance of unity. He says, let them have perfect unity. Come on, type it in the chat right now. Perfect unity. Perfect unity, perfect unity. It's what Jesus is praying that we would have. He is praying to the Father, let them have perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Friends, our unity testifies to the validity of what we are declaring. Our unity testifies to the validity of what we are declaring as Christ followers. And this is what we are declaring. We are declaring the good news. We are declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are declaring that Jesus saves. We are declaring that God transforms. We are declaring that we can live the abundant life. And if people can see it, it's easier for them to believe it. So Jesus prayed and he said, "Father, give them perfect unity, make them one so that when the world sees it, they will believe the message that they are bringing." I love this quote from St. Francis of Assisi. He says, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. You see, we should be preaching the gospel all times. One of the ways that we can preach this gospel is we can preach it through unity. We can preach it through fighting and protecting unity. So why is unity important? It's important because God commands it. It's important because Jesus demonstrated it while he was here on this earth. And not only that, winning demands it. Accomplishing our mission that God has given us, it demands unity. Okay, so now I know it's important. I understand it's important now, but how do I protect it? How do I protect it? Let me just give you three quick points on how do we protect this precious thing called unity. Number one is this. We take responsibility. We take responsibility. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. See, unity will always begin with you. Unity will always start with you. And the word is just a great reminder, because in the English language, unity always starts with a you. So it reminds us every time we look at the word, if there's going to be unity, it will start with me. You see, I'm not going to leave unity up to anybody else, because if I do that, then I'm setting myself up to lose. No, I want to take responsibility for unity. And Paul says, whenever you do, he says, do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, he's not talking about living for everyone else's approval. What he's saying here is that you just can't live out your life from the way you see it. Don't get caught just living. No, you got to expand your vision. You got to see something from somebody else's perspective. Then and only then can you do the right thing. You can't just do it from your own limited experience and education and your own limited perspective. No, you got to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. You need to see it through somebody else's experience. See it through somebody else's lens. You've got to, if you want to do right, you've got to do it from other people's perspective. And then he says this, as far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on you. Now, this is where we love to make the excuse, right? Well, you know, Pastor Philip, you cannot make peace with everyone, and that is true. But you better be working hard to make peace with someone. You might not can make peace with everyone, but you better be making peace with someone. Why? Because unity is my responsibility. Unity is your responsibility. And we need to take responsibility for the unity in the body of Christ, for the unity in our community, for the unity in our family. I'm not going to leave it up to anybody else. I will take responsibility for it. Here's the second thing we can do to protect unity, and that is ask questions. Ask questions. Communication helps create unity, but a lack of communication can cripple unity. Why? Because communication brings understanding, and understanding creates a bridge between two people, and that bridge is the bridge of unity. Now, here's the thing about asking questions. It is an act of humility, because I am sitting in the seat of the learner, not standing on the stage of the knower. I'm not telling you everything that I know. I'm asking you about what you know. I want to sit in the seat of the learner. I've got to ask questions. There's many ways we can do that. We can begin to say, hey, what did you mean whenever you said? How do you feel about? Is everything okay between us right now? Tell me more about this. These are simple questions that we can ask to get people talking. And when I'm asking questions, to gain awareness, not to give my answer. I'm not asking questions so then I can follow it up with my opinion. No, instead, I'm asking questions so that I can gain awareness and gain understanding. I love what John Maxwell says. He says that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if people don't think that you care, people don't care about what you know. They don't care about your opinion. One of the most freeing things in the world is nobody cares about your opinion until they really know that you care about them. And I don't have to agree with people to accept people. I don't have to agree with your life philosophy. I don't have to agree with your divine doctrine. I don't have to agree with you to accept you. Which it brings us to this simple question. Are we willing to ask questions, and are we willing to listen to the answers for the sake of unity? Are we going to be humble enough, live in humility enough to do that? You see, because the more understanding we have, the stronger the unity will be. And that bridge of unity is built by me asking questions. It takes us to the last point. The last point, how are we going to protect unity? Not only, we're not going to just take responsibility and ask questions. Number three is this, give grace. Give grace. Unity is best protected when we choose to give people the benefit of the doubt. Unity is best protected when we choose to believe the best about others. Unity is protected when we choose to determine that we will give grace no matter what. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Come on, I think you just need to stop right there. You just need to type that in the chat. Always. Come on, type it in the chat. Say it out loud. Let it sting a little bit. Always be humble. Always be gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Come on, is it hard for you to be patient with other people? Is it hard for you to make an allowance for other people's bad habits, poor behaviors, bad decisions? Come on, is it hard for you? Come on, just give me a little wave. Come on, put a little hand up right there in the chat right now. I don't know about you, but it can be very, very difficult for me to be patient. Be patient with other people, to make allowance, but this is what the scripture says. You see, it is my responsibility. It is my responsibility to protect unity, which means that if I am going to protect unity, I have to be the person that says this: I will out-forgive you. I will out-kindness you. I will out-love you. I will out-mercy you. I will out-grace you. I will out-patience you. I will give everything that I can. I will give all the grace that I need to fight and protect this unity. You see, it's not about me being right and about you being wrong. It's about me protecting what God commands, what Jesus demonstrated, and what winning demands. That's what it's not about me proving I'm right. It's not about me proving to you that you are wrong. No, it's about me protecting what God commanded, unity. Me protecting what Jesus demonstrated, unity. It's about me protecting what winning demands, and that is unity among us. And that can be most successfully done whenever I take responsibility, when I ask questions, and when I give grace. We protect unity. Not just a habit of this house. It needs to be a habit in your house. Let me close with this thought as we wrap up today. And it is this. If we aren't actively promoting and protecting unity, then we are passively permitting disunity. I'm going to say that again. If we are not actively promoting and protecting unity, then we are passively permitting disunity in our lives. Why? Because unity takes work. Unity takes work. So if you aren't working diligently for it, then you eventually won't have it. If you're not working diligently for it, you eventually won't have it. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about our marriage, our home, relationship with our kids, our company, our church. If you are not working for unity, if you are not working to promote it, if you're not working to protect it, if you're not working to fight for it, then eventually you won't have it. You will not have what God commands. You will not have what Jesus demonstrated, and you will not have what winning demands. You see, we must protect unity. It is important to God. If it's important to God, it needs to be important to us. We protect unity. You see, every Sunday now, we are wrapping up our messages with a lead acrostic. Because as I said in the very beginning, we are in our year of application. This year we want to lead ourselves well. And what does that look like? It looks like learning, evaluating, applying, and then doing it again. So we're closing every Sunday with what are we learning? What is our takeaway from this Sunday? And our learn this week is this. Unity is important and worth protecting. Unity is important. It's important to God, and therefore it should be important to us. And because it's important to God and it's important to us, it is worth protecting. It is worth our effort. It is worth our energy. It is worth us fighting for. The evaluation this week is this. Am I approaching my relationships with grace and humility? Simple question. Am I approaching my relationships? Maybe my relationship with my spouse, my relationship with my boss, relationship with people in my small group? Am I approaching all the relationships in my life with grace? Am I giving grace? Am I always humble? Am I always responding in love, being patient, believing the best? Is that how I am in my relationships? Am I living in humility? Am I living as the one who knows and is giving statements? Or am I living as the one who wants to learn and asking questions? Which one am I? And then the apply is simply this. Choose to ask more questions. Very simple. Don't wait until you're in trouble. Don't wait until your marriage is in a difficult place. Don't wait until there's friction in a relationship to begin asking. No. Start asking. Build the habit of asking questions. Why? Because we can build the bridge of unity at any time. We build the bridge of understanding. We're building that bridge of unity. So just start asking more questions. Ask questions on the good days. Ask questions during the pleasant seasons. Ask more questions. Ask your spouse more questions. Ask your kids more questions. Ask your boss more questions. Ask your friends more questions. Ask the people in your small group more questions. Start asking more questions. Just decide, this is the person I want to be. Why? Because I want to be a person of unity. And a person of unity always wants to grow in understanding to build the bridge of unity. That is my application. I will ask more questions this week. This week, I'm going to ask more questions than I've ever asked before. And finally, the D is just do it again. Do it again. And I promise you, if you decide to do these things, you are going to lead yourself well, and you are going to lead yourself into a better life. Come on, can we pray? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for who you are and for all that you have done. God, thank you for the great love that you have for us and the grace that you choose to lavish and pour out upon us. Maybe right now you say, Philip, I really need a fresh start. I need a brand new beginning with God. I need to re-engage in my relationship. I need to re-engage in my fellowship with God. Somewhere along the way, I just got disconnected. Maybe you got disappointed. Maybe you got distracted. But somewhere along the way, it was just a disconnect between you and God. And you say, Philip, I just need to connect with God. I need a fresh start, a new beginning in my relationship with him. If that's you right now, if I'm talking to you right there, wherever you are, come on, I just want you to shoot that hand up in the air. It's a sign to God. It's a sign to yourself saying, God, I hear you. I feel you reaching for me. And God, now I'm reaching for you. Or maybe today you say, Philip, I want this habit in my life. I want this habit of protecting unity. It's important to God and it's important to me. I want to be a person that protects unity. I want to be a person that takes responsibility. I want to be a person that asks questions. I want to be a person that gives grace. I want to be the person that fights and promotes and protects unity. That's who I want to be. Come on, if that's you, come on, just shoot that hand up in the air right now, wherever you are. Just a sign to yourself, a sign to God to say, God, this is a habit that I want in my house, a habit that I want in my life. Father, I thank you for all those that lifted up their hands. God, all the people today that are reconnecting with you. God, those people that are leaning into relationship with you right now. And for all those that said, I want this habit to be a part of my life. I want this habit to be a part of my life. God, I ask that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, that you would lead us and guide us into the life that you have created us for. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, put a big amen on that today. I want to say once again, thank you so much. And I want to encourage you this week, let's do what we can to protect unity. And let's come back next week, because next week we're going to be talking about we honor consistently. We honor consistently, not occasionally, but consistently. I believe it's going to be a blessing in your life, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.